Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Clay.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for Christmas. It is Christmas week. Everybody should be, you know, enjoying themselves. Holly jolly times.
This afternoon, probably about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock,
yeah,
I will be enjoying a prime rib.
Oh!
This afternoon, today.
That is lovely. I had beef for dinner last night. We did some beef flanking ribs. Remember when we were at the Left Field Lounge, those little beef ribs that I cooked? Same thing. I did those
are good.
So easy, so delicious. Beef's always the star of the show. And the, like I said, the prime ribs getting a little age on it. Our buddy Sam Blakeney told me about that. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this upcoming holiday. I'm mostly excited because I'm going to eat a big hunk of prime rib. Don't be alone. I don't want to be alone on that. You guys get a prime rib. Get a beef tenderloin. Enjoy it. Beef, it's what's for Christmas, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything state script, everything interlocking, it's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the half shell. Shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Still probably too late to do the shipping thing. But if you are looking for some great Mississippi State gear, you can head over to College Corner in any of their locations and get everything you need for this holiday. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, you have questions about your money? You need answers? Talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, a bank that's going to know you by name, not by account number, a bank that provides a level of service you're just not going to get anywhere else. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We will talk some basketball a little later. I'm a homer. I'll be the first one to tell you, but there's a whiff of friskiness right now with this team. They've won 4 out of 5. The two games they lost, they were complete control against SMU. And I'm not even counting that in this 4 out of 5, right? I guess it's 4 out of 6, right? They were in complete control against SMU. They just let it get away. And then they have the game where Hubbard gets hurt. Other than that, they should be on a 6-game winning streak. They really should. And if they were on a 6-game winning streak, we might be having a little different discussion. But that's for another day. Or, I'm sorry, that's for a little later in the show, actually. We're talking about a guy we haven't talked about in quite a while on the show, and that's Zach Selman. And the reason we're going to talk about him is that as of, I guess, the end of this year, Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione is officially, you know, he announced his retirement, but he wanted to finish out the calendar year. And so the time is coming now for him to step away from the University of Oklahoma. Now, when that job opened up, Zach Selman's name was on the top of everybody's list. Successful athletic director. He's at an SEC school. He's had that time in the big chair. And he can go back to, you know, Selman. The name Selman in Oklahoma is like the name Manning here in the state of Mississippi. It is a level of royalty for that family. And so that was, you know, I think that was a legit concern for quite a while. And, you know, you see the work that Zach Selman has done. And he has put in a lot of work because he came in behind the eight ball. The guy who he replaced had Mississippi State in a bad, bad place in terms of finances, in terms of NIL. Zach Selman has worked really hard to get Mississippi State to at least a point now where you feel like they're a competitive in this NIL marketplace. But, Robbie, you received some information, and it appears that Mississippi State might weather this storm, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, you know, I think that when this process started, the first thing that people started thinking about whenever you're hearing that Castiglione,
I said it before you made me say it.
Noni.
Stop talking. Castiglione.
Yes.
I can't say it anymore.
Joe,
It's over. Joe C.
when
is what they
Joe
call it.
when Joe announced this and talked about, hey, I'm going to serve out the rest of the year and kind of oversee this process and things like that, I was a little concerned because I'm thinking this is going to be his opportunity to kind of, if he does want Zach Selman, who was a little bit of a understudy, I was not even a little bit of an understudy, I think Zach would probably tell you that's one of his main mentors. I think that when that process first started, it was a little bit of a concern that it's an opportunity for Zach to go home. There's still some questions about him, but he has hired a couple of coaches in Maine sports. He's raised a ton of money here. He's shown the ability to fundraise, all that stuff. And Joe understands what he's capable of. So naturally, as a Mississippi State person who's seen this happen before, you're thinking
Not
this
good.
might be the time. And I do believe, based on the people that I've talked to, that they did talk to Zach, that they had discussed the job with him. I don't know where he was on the board for them. I would imagine he wasn't at the top. A place like Oklahoma, I would consider one of the top athletic departments in the country. They have one of the best ADs in the country. Their football program has consistently, since about 2000, about 25 years, we could say, whenever Bob Stoops first started to get that train rolling there, has been one of the best football programs in the country. And that's not even a arguable point. That's probably been a top five football program from Bob Stoops to Lincoln Riley. And so you talk about the things that they've accomplished. Softball over there is massive, and they've been one of the most dominant sports in America, regardless of what the sport is. That has been one of the best athletic departments in the country. They can go out and hire a really, really big name. So I don't think that Zach was at the very top, but I can tell you with certainty that he was approached by Oklahoma. And based on the conversations that I've had about this over the last couple of weeks, he basically said, I'm happy where I am. And, a lot of times people can use that as, well, he wasn't offered the job, so of course he's going to say he turned it down or whatever. But I believe that Zach has been approached by multiple schools over the last few years. This year in particular, I believe that there's been other schools that have come after Zach Selman. He is legitimately happy with what they're doing here. He is proud of what they've accomplished to this point. He believes there's momentum here. He's raised a lot of money to this point, and also believe that he and Mark Keenum right now are fairly aligned. As much as the message boards would tell you they're not, I believe that they are very aligned in their vision and what they're wanting to do. Mark Keenum is on board with Zach Selman, what he wants to do. We were told that there was no way that the administration with the university was going to allow Mississippi State to use the interlocking. And what helmet were they wearing for the majority of the year? The fundraising efforts has been, it's kind of been lockstep with everybody. And there's a few things that we could discuss that probably need to be readjusted, like the university taking funds from athletics. But right now, I believe that Zach is very happy in Starkville with what they're doing at Mississippi State. I believe that he told Oklahoma, love you guys, appreciate you, but I'm happy where I'm at. And it could have been a situation where Oklahoma was keeping him warm, kind of a fallback plan. And maybe that played into it as well. I don't know. But he legitimately is telling other schools that he's happy. And when he was first hired here, I remember we were on this show saying basically, if he's hired away in a couple of years, it means he did something good. And when this news first came out, I think we were all on the same page that Mississippi State really needs to keep Zach Selman because you've got some momentum. You finally have some stability here. There's still some things
Well,
that they have to improve in football, but you need Zach Selman to be here and build.
I think I told you this, but One of the main reasons I wanted to have this continuity is they just came out with a master plan.
Yeah.
It's a really good plan. I think it brings Mississippi State into a really good place.
Need to see it through.
And I just know from experience that if you get a new guy in here, he's going to look at it and go, well, mm-hmm. I want to change. And then it's like, all right, that's what, then they shelve that plan. And
which is what John Cohen did.
Yes.
And it's what Zach Summon did with John Cohen.
Right. Which my guess is that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. But I believe
Baseball's going to get all this stuff.
But yeah, like, we're just going to gut out the hump.
I was just like, I don't want to have to go through the process of, okay, now we need to come up with another plan. And then by the time that plan gets implemented, well, this guy now he's going somewhere.
Yeah.
Keep the same guy, keep the same plan was important. I felt like that was an important thing for Mississippi State. They need to get 2 or 3 years into the road to the point where it's like, all right, enough stuff's being built that we can't make a change.
And Zach, too, is getting comfortable. Like, he is getting comfortable in this role. I think a lot of people, when he first got here, first year and a half or so on the job, talked about how, you know, what's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is he doing anything? Is he making progress anywhere? It just didn't seem like it. He was legitimately just kind of surveying the landscape, looking at other schools, finding ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And when he rolled it out, he had a plan. You know, he had his
plan.
Yeah. So now it's a guy that has been in this position that, you know, at Oklahoma, I think that he was involved in the hiring of Brent Venables. He was very much involved in that. But he was mostly kind of a fundraiser, you know, the shaking hands, kissing babies kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brought that to Mississippi State. Obviously, that is his strength, is raising money. And that's exactly what you need in this day and age. But he's also put together this really cool plan for the future for Davis Wade Stadium, which I think needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very interesting balancing act. And it's like I've been upfront and honest with everybody before. Zach and I have sat down and talked.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked to him too. We've discussed things and hashed things out of like what the fan base is saying. Because I feel like you and I are kind of like the liaison between the fans and Zach and people
in the industry.
And Zach will listen to the fans too. But a lot of times,
listen to us. That's the real question.
A lot of times, I think he stays away from social media. He's not really looking at that stuff. And he, like, there's sometimes where you probably need to look at some of that stuff. And a lot of times, you need to tune it up.
Well, he needs to have somebody who listens to it for him.
Yes. And which I think he does.
That's fine. Like, I don't, I've said this before. I don't ever want a coach or an administrator to call me and be like, I was listening to your podcast. And I don't want that. You do not need to be listening to the show. This is not.
If you're focused on what we're saying,
then you got a problem. And the two people who I know,
I think Nick Saban cares about.
Yeah, I know that Joe Moorhead listened, and John Cohen listened.
Yep.
I think I've told this before. Like before he hired Lamonis, when he went on radio and somebody who's going to hire a proven college World Series guy, and you know he was obviously targeting Schlossnagel, targeting McDonald, it fell through. And so he, you know, he came back and he was just like, oh, well, I never said they'd have to be a head coach. They could be an assistant or a player. And everybody in the world knew that was BS. And I called it out. Who called me the next day? John Cohen.
And I think he believed he was going to hire Jim Schlossnagel.
He did. I believed he was going to hire Jim Schlossnagel.
Yeah, I think that was going to happen. There's people that would tell you that was not going to happen. I believe otherwise.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was saying is, you know, Zach, we've sat down with him. I've talked to him before about the balancing out like NIL and having this great fan experience. And initially, I think he was laser focused on we have got to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get the revenue share and all that fixed. Why would we put any money into projects? And one of my main points was, I'm not taking credit for this, but this is, I'm just voicing what a lot of fans were thinking on this. But one of my main points was, like, to get an investment from this fan base, you've got to get them in the stadium.
Right.
How are you going to get them in the stadium if your fan experience is stuck in 2014?
Mm-hmm.
The fan experience was the same that it was when Mississippi State went to number one. The fan experience was great then mm-hmm. because the team was great. But now it's gotten to the point where every game's on television. You have lights and sound and fireworks and laser shows, everybody needs to be able to say, I can't experience this at home. I want to be at this. And, you know, then they roll out the IPF, and then they roll out the master plan and things like that, and they put the LED lights in. I think he just realized at some point, like, I've got to have investment and buy-in from this fan base beyond just giving us money. Like, they've got to have something in return. And that's what I really love about Zach, is he is willing to sit down with the average person and have a conversation and hear them out. And it might not be – he might not take anything that they say and use it, but he will listen.
He's always willing to listen,
And that doesn't happen all that often with people in that position. It just doesn't. They don't look at the common fan. Zach is sitting in the stands with the fans at games. He's interacting with people. He knows you by name. And it might be an act. I'm not saying that Zach and I are best buds, and he's gonna come over to my house for Christmas.
I don't text Zach very often. Be like, bro, what's up? You know.
But he sent my child a card when she was born in a onesie.
Yeah.
I mean, he understands what relationships are all about.
Yeah.
And again, this might be an act. I don't know. But
the job.
Yeah. You have to have relationships with these people. That's why he's such a great fundraiser.
Yeah.
Is he knows how to connect with you 1-on-1.
Yeah.
But I think that too, like, goes back to his heart, because I think he did some mission work, and, you know, I think he and his sister were involved and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He has a really good heart.
Yeah.
So he has a heart for this place now too, and it means something to him. And I think that's a big reason why he decided, I want to stay here. I want to bloom where I'm planted. There's a lot of good things going on for me here. The people are good. We love the community. We've got a lot of exciting things in the future. You look at what they're doing in baseball, football. There needs to be more investment there. There needs to be more results. But I think we can all agree it's moving slightly uphill.
It appears. I mean, again, we have to go from the 1,000 feet. They went from 2 wins to 5. It doesn't matter what happened.
I know it's not exciting right now.
They went from 2 wins to 5, and they're games, they had opportunities to be better than that.
Yeah,
so you got to trust they'll get better. I think another thing about Zach, and this is probably true about a lot of athletic directors, but especially like him, and I'll throw Keith Carter in. These are former athletes. They're competitors. They like the challenge.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Zach Selman came in here and was like, I can turn this place into a top-tier university in terms of athletics. I think he took that challenge on. I mean, it's a big challenge, because this is a university that has been saddled with, you know, what we call it, poor old state thinking for 5-6 decades. You know, changing those – that's the hardest thing, is changing those people's mindsets. There are so many Mississippi State fans out there who believe that – you know, just take what we get, and let's not rock the boat, and let's not, you know, hey, if it goes bad, it'll be okay. That's not – you can't operate like that. I know these people own businesses, and they work. They don't look like – they don't live that, – that's not how they treat their professional life, but they're willing to just take it from Mississippi State. Zach, and that's why I thought, if you go back – you were on the pod when Selman was hired.
Yeah,
I was adamant. I was like, we have to get somebody from outside the maroon and white bubble. Get somebody who's their first.
I was pushing Banco.
Yeah, I was like
I really thought Banco would be a good.
I want somebody that when he comes to Starkville to interview, that's the first time he's ever been in Starkville. That's what I wanted, and that's kind of what we got. And I think it's working out pretty good. Is it perfect? No. Prior to the start of basketball season, I think we all would have said the same thing. Hey, outside of football, pretty good shape, and football's getting better. Now, basketball has taken a step back. It's fine. Women's basketball hasn't. They're actually pretty good. I think, right now, if you had a
– Sam's done a really good job.
If they voted for the SEC Women's Coach of the Year right now, he might be the winner.
And the schedule's not great, but they're coming out and they're killing people. That to me is a good sign.
Yeah.
If they were struggling with these teams, I would be concerned.
Like the men.
Yes,
yeah.
And they're coming out and they're killing people. Now, SEC is going to be tough, and the first part of the schedule is really tough. But right now, Sam and his staff have done a fantastic job on this.
Let's talk.
By the way,
yeah,
I was at Obie's today for lunch.
I could tell.
And
you got the cup right there.
So, like, I turn over and I was like, oh boy, I saw somebody stand up there at the counter ordering.
Well, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
In relation to what we're talking about here.
Was Zach?
No,
okay.
It was Scott Strickland. So he was sitting there ordering, and I walked over and I was like,
Get
I'm about. I said I'm about to make a message board post. I said I just saw Scott Strickland and his wife shopping for houses at Old Waverly. He's like you. He's like you do that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I'm guessing he's in town for Christmas
holidays.
Or,
yeah,
yeah,
his parents, his grandparents, or parents-in-law. Still here.
But yeah, I thought that was
That's
funny.
funny.
It's funny that while we're having this conversation, I just saw Scott Strickland.
I went to lunch. I saw somebody you knew.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
Where'd you go to lunch?
Bulldog Burger.
Okay. Who'd you see?
Can you guess?
Well, you got to give me a clue. It could be anybody.
If he had seen me, he would have wanted to talk about football, specifically high school.
Matt Caldwell?
No, I saw Jeremiah.
Oh, yes.
So I went to lunch with my daughter, who's in high school. And
We're going to beat Madison Central, huh?
She was talking about Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And then not 2 minutes later, he walks in and she's not looking. I'm just like, and she goes, what? I was like, turn around.
My
She's like,
guy.
you gotta be kidding me.
Jeremiah, every time he sees me, the
It's so
first
fun.
thing he wants to do is run through the Starkville High School schedule for
Yes.
that week.
Yeah.
And it's like, we play Madison Central this week, huh? We're going to beat them, ain't it? And every single time, like, yep, Jeremiah's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the
Yeah.
Jackets. But that guy has got it. He's laser focused on their schedule for the week.
He's locked in.
He's awesome.
So, all right. Let's
Legend.
we'll switch over to basketball. I will say this though, now that we've done this podcast and talked good about Zach, they'll announce he's taking the job at Oklahoma the next week. Zach, I swear to God, man, I will
If
text
that
you.
messaging is getting out, I'm going to
We feel good,
assume.
but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't get any messaging. Can I get some messaging, please?
And it
Can
was
you
kind
get
of
a little messaging?
it was kind of just like in general conversation about Mississippi
I'm
State
just
stuff, and
saying,
it just
man.
came up.
Shoot me a somebody shoot me a text.
Well, we're both kind of the like if
They
someone
feel like
talks
they're
of
texting
you,
you, they're texting me too.
same way, same thing for you
Okay.
to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, but I like to feel important.
We're both together.
Yeah. Show off what you're looking at there.
Oh yeah, this is Delvin Irwin's book about the history of Louisville Wildcat
He's
football.
done a few of these books, so he's a St.
Oh,
Paul guy. He
he was
started.
sending. I was sending. I have several friends that played football for Louisville in
Yeah.
a group message I'm in. So I was sending them. Their names are in here.
Yeah.
So he's got. I
We need
mean,
to get
every letter winner in here.
to
It's
get
pretty
a copy
cool.
of this. If Delvin, if you're listening, I need one more copy of this. We'll get it. Send it to me this summer. We'll give it to Chuck Dunlap.
Yeah.
He would love that.
I'm sure Chuck is
Chuck's
in
probably
here.
in there.
No, he's not in here.
Well, and then so he's a St. Al guy. He started with St. Al. He did a history of St. Al. I think he's done Warren Central, and he's done a couple other schools around the state as well. So
I was looking at cheerleaders. Sorry, Chuck.
that's funny.
Chuck, I can't find you in here. You're not the cheer captain?
If you had the Jackson Prep one, you could find Scott Strickland there.
That's true. Chuck Dunlap, 1991 to 93.
There it is. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. Zach, if you're listening, don't make us look like fools.
Don't you dare
Don't
leave.
do it.
We will tackle you.
Yeah.
It'll take both of us, but.
By the way, I almost texted Zach after the Egg Bowl because I saw the picture of him and Kiffin, and I was just like, Zach, I would have raised $1 million for you. I could have put together $1 million fundraiser if you punched that son of a gun in the mouth. If you
We would all bail you
I
out.
was like, first of
All
all.
Miss fans would bail
You
him out.
just would have bailed him out. Like, you had a chance for a free shot. Say he said something racist,
He
Zach.
didn't want that smoke. Zach's super nice, but that was a tight end with the last name
Yeah, I
Spellman.
sat on the rumblings. I was like, buddy, that's the smoke Kiffin don't want no part of.
That's a Selman.
Notice Kiffin didn't say anything until after the game.
Yeah.
Or until he was safe.
Yeah, to Kiffin is one of those, yeah, you better run.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show.
By the way, Kiffin just like
tweeting through it this week.
I love Ole Miss. That way to go, guys. Of course, you just made $250,000
Yeah.
for sitting in your office
Yeah.
watching the game.
Yeah.
You want them to keep winning.
So all of the coaches that coach this weekend aren't coaching the Sugar Bowl.
Really?
Somebody said that they're like, yeah,
I don't think that's true.
they're going to come back to LSU.
That's what Ben reported, but
You don't think that's right?
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I mean, like, what are you gonna do?
Well, I mean,
If like Charlie Weiss is gone, like
you bring in Joe Don or whatever his name is. John Joe. I don't know
just
what that
bring
is.
in another guy that's been in another girl's DMs.
Oh.
I don't think Charlie Weiss has, but Lane Kiffin did.
Weiss hasn't, no. His dad's been into like other girls, you know, Reese's Pieces and stuff.
What?
Charlie Weiss, big fat guy.
Okay.
It wasn't a euphemism for anything. He just eats a lot of candy. You've seen him.
Oh,
Got a
God.
major league front butt. Feels so good to make
Like,
fat
what are you
jokes.
talking about? Been in their Reese's Pieces.
It's
He's had
not
his hand in their cookie jar.
it's euphemism. It's
Literally,
actually
his hand has been in their cookie jar.
a jar. Yeah.
Oh, God. Let's move on.
In the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the southern soul food that you are looking for. And if you're looking for a last minute stocking stuffer, I keep telling you, man, nobody's gonna be mad if you put a Two Brothers gift card into their stocking. That is the gift that will give the whole year round. Enjoy some great meals this week. I don't know what the holiday hours are. Check out their website, find them out for yourself. But if you can, get to Starkville and enjoy some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
It, brother.
All right. When you need technology for you, when you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. Then if you need service, guess what? Same people, same number. You know them. You talk to them. You have that relationship with them. They'll get out and fix it. A lot of times they're going to be able to fix it the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. You can't say that about anybody else. Anybody, I mean, I'm just telling you from experience. You're going to call a call center. You're going to be on hold for 40 minutes. When they do tell you they can fix it, they're going to send somebody out. They'll be there in a few days. Don't deal with that. Advantage Business System, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go for Mississippi State gear. If you're in Starkville right now, you're doing that last-minute holiday shopping, check them out over at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white. This lovely white State Script polo, maroon and white. Our Maroon & Co. got it there.
Think I got Big Daddy a shirt for Christmas from Maroon & Co.
I know she's not listening, so I can say it.
Becky used the Thunder 15 yesterday.
There you go. So your dad listens, though. So now he knows what you got him.
No, he doesn't really listen to this
Okay.
much,
Okay.
but sometimes he
All right.
does.
Well, my wife doesn't listen. I got her a Mississippi State hoodie, and like I said, I'm not just the proprietor of the Thunder 15
I like how
coach.
you're so confident. Like, I know for a fact she's not listening, so I can talk about her present right here.
Literally, I could tell you everything that I got her. And now maybe some of the people she works with could go tell her because I know some of them listen.
That would be mean.
But I could literally now that's I do have to be careful though. I can't just go in here and insult her because then they will go tell her.
Yes.
But yeah, I have
Yeah, but everything nice you say about it will never get
never
back to
gets
her.
back to her though.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just whatever. Maroonco.com, Thunder 15 is the promo code.
And it works.
It works.
Worked for my wife yesterday.
I hope if you've got some last minute shopping to do, if you're thinking, I got to go get this, I got to get that. Where am I? I don't have time to go to all these places and get all this stuff. But do you have time to go to Scruggs? Do you have time to go to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo? Because if you do, then you've got time to get everything that's on your shopping list because they're going to have it. Doesn't matter who you're shopping for, what they like to do, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has it. And if what they like to do is keep an immaculate lawn, they've got that taken care of with John Deere Green. Get a John Deere commercial mower, 0% financing available for up to. I mean, what should we do today? Let's see here. How many seconds in 6 years? Hold on. Comma. Comma. You can get 0% financing for up to 189,302,400 seconds.
All right.
Right there.
So, I mean,
This is a
that's
fun little
mathematics.
gimmick we're doing, but I'm going to run out of,
Yes.
I don't know
I don't
if.
think this is gonna hit like 50.
Yeah, I can't go too far with it, but it's fun right now. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less.
I think Quinshon Judkins just tore his knee up.
Yeah, they said he got carted off. I hate that. If you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber, and I hope you already do. If you own a couple hundred acres or a couple thousand acres, you can call the good folks at Good Hope Land and Timber, and anything you need done, they're there for you to help you make smart, sustainable, but most importantly, profitable decisions with your land. If you're looking to buy or sell land, again, Good Hope Land and Timber can put you in contact and get that land sold or get you the piece of property that you are looking for. Doesn't matter what it has to do with land. Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. As you said, Robbie, the science, we're on a good streak against the science right now.
Well, didn't get the science 2 weeks ago,
right.
I think it was. But they did beat the science. There was another day where both teams won.
Right. That was the Utah game.
No, it was the Georgia Tech game.
Okay.
And the women played earlier that day.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's happened twice now. The percentages
we will continue,
are starting to be challenged here.
We will continue to monitor.
We will.
But Mississippi State men's basketball, good win. Just a good win for them.
I don't think Memphis is a bad team, regardless of what people say.
They're not a great team, but they're not a bad team.
Yeah. This is a team that, as AAC conference play continues, when it begins, that's going to be a team that's probably contending. And they had three guys that have been hurt that were back yesterday. That was a talented team, and they played a really tough schedule. And I don't think this isn't like a resume building win.
Right.
But it was a good win for State just to find a way.
Right.
You know.
Hubbard with 17, Jaden Epps with 19, the only two to Bulldogs in double figures. Makara with only 4 points and
Masura.
I don't know what it is, man.
Sergei Masura.
Four points, four rebounds. He got his first, I think it's his first start of the year, but he didn't have his best game. Achor had maybe his best game as a Bulldog. 8 points, five rebounds for him.
And could have had a lot more. He missed a lot of shots.
He was three of six.
I had typed out, it is a chore to score a basket in the paint, and then I deleted it, and I was like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. Not a great shooting day for the Bulldogs, especially from behind the arc. State was 6 of 21. That's with Epps going 4 of 9, but Hubbard was 2 of 7. Nobody else made a three-pointer. But they get the win. And as I was just mentioning, right, so let's go back. You know, they lose those two games in the Hall of Fame Classic. They probably could have beaten – you know, Kansas State beat them pretty badly, but they could have beaten New Mexico. But we'll say that. But since then, right, they had to go to overtime to beat New Orleans. Not a great game. They lose in overtime to SMU. Then they played a pretty good game at Georgia Tech.
And that was a good game. They just kind of folded.
They fell apart there at the end. Hubbard gets hurt against San Francisco. If he doesn't get hurt, they win. Then they beat Utah in a really good win.
Mm-hmm.
Long Island, not a pretty win, but they win, and then they beat Memphis. Look, here's the truth of this matter. They're 7-5. If they could have held on against SMU and they could have not gotten Hubbard hurt against San Francisco, they're 9-3. And we're really talking about this team a lot different. We're still saying, look, they're not great. They're barely winning these games, but the perception would be a lot different. I still don't think they're an NCAA tournament team. They will struggle to get to the NIT, but I at least have talked myself into the point where they should be competitive in conference play.
Yeah, like it doesn't look like a team that's just going to be 2-16.
Yeah.
Like I think they can win some games in there, but it is going to be a struggle because they have these lulls, and I mean some of the turnovers yesterday were just gross. I mean, they weren't in good positioning on rebounds, especially defensively. You know, 17 offensive rebounds. Like, it's just, you know, I'm sitting there going, why is there no one in position to get these rebounds? You had Quincy Ballard, who was a big body in there. Chor was down there a couple of times, should have got rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they should be doing more in the post.
Mm-hmm.
You got 5 points from Ballard. He shot four times.
Yeah.
Like,
Ball into him.
Get it to him. I don't know if it's just like he's being timid and he's not getting in position.
Could be.
If they're just not – they don't trust him. I don't know. They need to put it on the backs of their guards. But I really love Jaden Epps. Again, I believe Jaden Epps is the best transfer portal pickup that Kansas had here.
Easily.
Any season, I think he's the best that they've had. So Epps and Hubbard are a really good combo. Hubbard's kind of going through it a little bit right now. I think he's coming off that injury, trying to figure out. So, you know, he's going through it a little bit, but he's not hurting you all that much. He had two turnovers with a guy that has the ball in his hands that often that to only have two turnovers in 37 minutes.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
I'll take it.
But you got to get, you know, if you're going to play a chore, which he strangely only played 10 minutes, if you're gonna play him, you need more out of him. He needs to be able to finish in the paint and give you a little bit more defensively. And like everybody that you're playing needs to be maximized because you're starting to really shrink your rotation a little bit.
It's
Like you're
starting. Jans is starting to figure out what his team actually is.
Yeah, and it's obvious that Amir Ali is not going to be a part of this thing, and you're giving a lot of minutes now to Jamar Davis Fleming. He needs to be producing a little bit more, I think, offensively. He scored 3 points in 20 minutes, but he had the play of the game, I thought, defensively when he got the block shot that led to the bucket on the other end. He is a difference maker on the defensive end. He's starting to get more comfortable. Ballard, you got 8 points combined from Ballard and Jamar in 43 minutes. So like your center position's just kind of non-existent scoring wise. So you got to get. It's like there's just not a lot of guys that look to score. I think Jabari McGee at times does, but
I
it
agree with
kind of
that.
comes and goes.
And this is not the most aggressive team. Hubbard and Epps,
Hubbard
when
and
they
Epps
want to
will.
score,
They'll fire it up at any
McGee
time.
will, but the rest of them are, I feel like they're always looking to make the extra pass.
But I think that you're starting to see the team get a little more comfortable with each other. I still don't think it's a good team.
No.
They had 15 turnovers. I would guarantee you that 10 of those were like unforced,
Oh,
like
yeah.
stupid turnovers. Throw it to the other team,
Yeah.
dribble it off your leg. One time Sean Jones threw it in the crowd. He dribbled off his foot a couple of times. Like the turnovers are just dumb turnovers. So there's a lot of things this team has to clean up. Turnovers, rebounding's got to be better. They got to be more efficient. Like it's a struggle to score inside. Like the finish. Like they can't finish layups and they
They and you talk about confidence. Like
it's a it's they are lacking confidence.
Achor and Ballard are these are big body guys. They should be bullying some teams, and they haven't done it. And we were at the game Tuesday against Long Island. How many? There were two separate occasions where they're right at the rim, and all they got to do is go up and dunk it.
Just dunk
And
it.
they just don't have. And you remember that happened with Tolu Smith a little bit, his second year, where there were so many opportunities where it's like just dunk the ball, and he wouldn't do it. I don't know what's going on there. If those guys, I feel like if Ballard could get some confidence, he could be a good scorer for Mississippi State. He's definitely got the physical presence,
If
but.
he was really aggressive, that's a guy that could just stuff it
Yeah.
down the goal. Like he could just go up. I mean, who's going to block it?
Exactly.
He's strong. He's a physical guy. Like he's just got to get more confident.
Yeah.
But I think that this has been a good close in non-conference. It could have unraveled here a little bit. You had Utah, which is a tough team that you could have lost to, and they could have blown it against Long Island. They didn't give him credit for that. And I think Memphis is one of the more talented teams that they've played so far. Like that's a lot. There's a lot of talent. They have a 7-footer who was really agile. What was his name? Bradshaw. He was really impressive. Like that's a tough guy to go up against. There's a lot of guys on that roster that's just super talented, and they weathered a little bit of a storm. Memphis had come back from a 10-point deficit, and State could have unraveled there. They're figuring some things out. It would be a disaster if they lose to Alabama State. I don't expect that. But you have a chance here to go into conference play at 8-5, reset a little bit. Now your net's in a terrible place right now, but I mean, who knows? Who knows what could happen?
I said I'm not going to sit there and try to tell anybody that this team can turn it around,
Yeah.
be an NCAA tournament team like that. But can I've at least talked myself off of the they're going to go 2-16 ledge.
Well, I mean, this is not the SEC from last year. I mean, I'm not saying that, State's going to be in great shape here and they're going to run the table, but, Auburn isn't what they were last year. Kentucky is not what they were last year. Alabama, in some sense, isn't what they were last year, but it's still a really talented team. I just think every win is going to be important for Mississippi State from here on out. Not just, to me, the biggest thing for this team is build confidence for next year. And then whatever happens from doing that is gravy on top. Because we've all kind of, at this point, come to the realization that it's going to take a miracle, a Christmas miracle for Mississippi State to go to postseason, much less the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a miracle. And if it happens, it was an unreal coaching job by Chris Jans, but you build a little bit of confidence going the next year, and you can kind of see, you look at the roster and you look at the things that you need, you get a head start on, hey, this can't happen again. But it's a mulligan year for Chris Jans.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that everybody, there's a lot of people out there that want him fired. It's not going to happen. This guy's been to three consecutive NCAA tournaments.
Yeah.
He's not getting fired. Like I said, he could go 7-20 or whatever the record would be. He could lose
He's
every
getting
game from here
next
out. He's
year,
getting next year.
for sure.
So any win from here on out to me is great.
Agreed. Let's switch over to the women real quick. We haven't talked about them a lot this year, but they're 12-1 now.
Should be talked about.
And you made a good point, and this is something I believe in my heart. When you talk about good teams, when they play a bad team, they beat the hell out of them. And what did they win by yesterday? 40 something?
48.
48 points.
Without Madison Francis for the second half, by the way.
I don't know anything about LaSalle women's basketball. I don't know anything about the Lady Explorers, if that's what they're called.
They're a solid A-10 team.
Okay. They killed this team. And they've been beating almost everybody they played. Their one loss, they had the lead in that game against Texas Tech,
Up
and
15
they're up
in the first
15.
quarter.
They played maybe the best quarter they've ever played against under Sam Purcell, and they just let it get away from them.
That's a Texas Tech team that's undefeated, by
Yeah,
the way.
that's a good team.
They lost 69-62.
This team is pretty good. Again, I don't know what's going to happen when we get into conference play. SEC women's basketball, always a bloodbath. You know how it's going to go there. But I feel very confident this team can find its way into the NCAA tournament.
Well, what I really have noticed about this team compared to the past teams is they play really well together. Everybody knows their role. There's not really like, the last few teams, I felt like there's kind of like a alpha mentality with a couple of players that, I'm supposed to be getting the ball. No, I'm supposed to be getting the ball. And there's always been kind of like behind the scenes that rift. And it is, when it's gotten into SEC play, it's kind of come to the surface a little bit. And there'll be games where they play really poorly because somebody got their feelings hurt. And I think that this team has gelled quickly. And it's really impressive to return. I mean, it's the same situation as the men's. They have the same exact situation. They returned two players. Rocia Jimenez was also on that team, but she has not really contributed since she's been here. So essentially, they brought back two players, Chandler Prater and Destiny McFall.
Right.
The whole team's new, virtually. You're throwing out
And
two true freshmen.
what's this in the starting lineup? It's some freshmen, right? It's
Madison
not
Francis.
like they brought in a bunch of experienced transfers.
No, Madison Francis is starting. And then you have a player in the post, Favor Wadozi, who was playing in Japan last year. She's never played American college basketball, and she was playing a totally different style. So, and she, by the way, averaging a double-double,
Yeah.
well over 10 rebounds at this point per game, and she had another one yesterday. But you got those two. Madison Francis is a true freshman that's never played college basketball. You have obviously Destiny and Chandler, but those two weren't regular starters last year.
Right.
And then Treyana Crisp has been, she's probably the most seasoned with Chandler Prater. But then you got your sixth woman is Jayla Lampley, who's another true freshman. So a ton of players that have never played together, have never, several of them haven't played college basketball or SEC basketball, and they just don't really get rattled. And for something changed with the offense, they've got a plan out there. There's been so many times where they're just kind of going ISO over the last few years and let Ja'Kayla Jordan just kind of take it or some, and it just hasn't worked.
Yeah, that was something we talked about a lot in the preseason. We were like, Ja'Kayla Jordan was the big shot person. We got to have it here. Give it to her. Who was that going to be this year? It seems like they're finding some people there.
I think Madison Francis has a chance to be special. I think Jayla Lampley has a chance to be special. Favor, and like I've been saying, like those three, it is crucial that Sam Purcell locks them down and keeps them moving forward. Because that's something that's been hampering him. Which, by the way, I mean, people have criticized his coaching and all that. To go to the NCAA tournament 2 out of 3 years, to win 20-plus games 3 years in a row, that's impressive.
And
I don't care
you
who you
said
are.
something earlier that when you go to press conferences, Purcell will say, "Yeah, we really got to get better at X." And then in the next game, they're better at X.
He's been a little more negative than usual, which he can't get mad at me anymore about being critical because he has started to be critical. But I think he sees like there, we have a very tough schedule coming up. We have the ability to do this and we're not doing it. But they are doing it now. Like they're rebounding better. They're getting after it. Like this team has been really coachable. So if you're a State fan and you were once invested in women's basketball and you aren't anymore, go see this team because they are a fun team to watch. You have two really exciting freshmen. One of them can dunk, and you have a really exciting center that is a joy to be around and favor. It's a fun team, and you got next couple weeks, you got two home games coming up. Samford closing out non-conference, and then you host Auburn on New Year's Day. And in this schedule, by the way, after Auburn, you go to Oklahoma, who's top 10 in the country. To Tennessee, who's top 20, to Ole Miss, who's top 20. Well, Tennessee's at home. Vanderbilt's top 15, Kentucky's top 20. The month of January
You'll
is,
find out a lot.
you're going to find it a lot. If State can come out of that with two or three
They'll
wins,
be in great shape.
yeah.
All right, tomorrow's show, more to talk about. I'm sure we'll figure it out between now and then. And then, of course, let's set our schedule again for the week that we've got only two more shows this week. We will have a show tomorrow. We will have a show on Wednesday doing the rumblings for Christmas Eve. Then we'll take a couple of days off for the holidays and be back with you all of next week for getting ready for the bowl game and then the start of the transfer portal. Also, an interview on tomorrow's show with Jacob Rudner of Baseball America. Let's talk some more baseball on tomorrow's show. Have a great Monday, guys. Talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.